Kof Shavat, Tuesday the 25th of January, Dine Aaron Yitzhak Binstock, Hafsokas in Kriyas HaTorah.
Good morning, it's a pleasure to be back here at the Torah Way and the fascinating shiurim that you're running here. It's a pleasure, the privilege to be part of it. I've always been interested in Kriyas HaTorah since my bar mitzvah, I guess in the presence of Yamki, we grew up in the same shul, to be a balkera and as a rov, of course, with juggling with Gaboim, how many breaks can we have today, Rabbi, and so on. It's an interesting and challenging subject. So let me take you through some of the issues involved in the stops we make in a Sefer Torah, trace its history, and examine some of the issues that arise therefrom. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, originally, when Kriyas HaTorah would take place, each person would lay their own portion. So that's the first shlav in Kriyas HaTorah, called Echol Echol Feri HaParsha Shaloi. As we see, there's a Tosefta, which is in fact brought in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, but in a slightly different context. Based on Knesset She'ein Lohem Mishi Yikro Elo Echol, Omer V'Kor V'Yoshev, Omer V'Kor V'Yoshev, Omer V'Kor V'Yoshev, Afilu Shiva Po'omim. There's only one person who could lay at that particular time. So you'd call him up seven times. Go up, sit down. Call him up again, go up, sit down. Go up, call him up again, sit there seven times, because you'd be wanting to call up seven people, and he was the only one who could lay the portion, and he would in fact the person would do it. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch bring this halacha down. Today, since we're prepared to call up Ameh Ha'aretz, who don't follow the laning at all, even though there's a Balkorah, but in principle, the Machamah brings it that even if there's a Balkorah, but the person you'd be calling up wouldn't have the slightest idea of what was happening, then this halacha might still apply. But today, since we call up our mayors, if he don't follow the leading, so we could just make the bracha, he wouldn't apply. But in principle, the one person would be called up and he would lay his portion, and that's the concept still about the Teimanim to this day, that when they're called up, they lay their portion. There was an intermediate stage between the original practice and our current practice of having a Balkorah, is where you had someone who was a Messiah. And if you ever not prepared the laying properly, as sometimes might happen to a Balkorah, if you've got a Messiah, someone who can assist you as the Sagan, some of the Sefarim have the practice, and I see it in the Anshe Shalom Minyan, which is a meeting in my Kehidra as well, that you've got someone at the side doing hand signals that tells you what the notes are. And it's Mashma from Rashi that on the well-known in Gemara about in Shabbos about the Chazan who sees what the children are reading, and he says, so Rashi explains, he says, why is he doing so? Rashi Parshios, and he says to me, because he's just looking at the as it were the headings, because the parasha is so familiar to him. And the following day, this chazan is going to assist the people who are going to be laying their portion with the pronunciation and the neginas. And so there was a stage of a messiah, of someone who would be assisting people, still be in principle laying your own portion, but you might need a bit of help along the way. And then our final stage of the Balkorah itself. Now, the stops that we make in the laning when it takes place, there are, as it were, older sources where we can see for certain types of Kriyas HaTorah what the stops were. There's ample information in the Geonim as to what happens. For example, our current practice when it's Rosh Chodesh, what the stops are. We find the Oitzo Geonim Megillah, the stops of Kain, Levi, etc., what you lay, the Amal Tonem, etc., etc. It's all familiar to us from our current practice, first of all, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, how we lay, we see the sources there in the Oitzo Geonim. Similarly for Hanukkah, what the sources are. We move to the second place, simply for a time of Sibbo, of Ayichal, and so on. And the final, perhaps the oldest source that we have as to what the Hafsokas in Kriyas HaTorah are, is the Gemara that tells us about Parshas Hazinu. And there is the mnemonic Haziv Loch, is the mnemonic for the breaks that we make in Hazino, and we read it today as they used to read it in the Beis Hamikdash. And there's a lot of a variety in the Rishonim as to how you precisely work out what this mnemonic is supposed to stand for. But in principle, those stops were there as it were in the time of the Gemara as to how you would split up that laning. So these are, as it were, particular and special instances of Kriyas HaTorah. But how about our regular sedra? So in the Parshas HaShavua, in number 3, Mahayom Mesayra B'Chalukas Parshas HaShavua. Was there a Mesayra as to how it should take place? And Rashi, in commenting on the Kriya Satora on Chalamot, tells us, he says, Shlosha Shekorin Zechilah, Ein Makpidin Al Kriyosam. We're not so particular what they're going to read. Yikru Mashi Yirtsu. They can read whatever they want, really, on Cholamoid. You can split it up whatever way you like. However, you want another mimic, I'll tell you. He goes on to, but in principle, you could do what you want. And this idea is expanded by the Meiri in Kiryat Sefer. And he says, Kriyos Sheba Sha'a Yemoitz HaShon of HaShabos HaZemoidim, Eimin Yonom Yodua, Elo Sha'chazem Makre Kirtzoinoi. He does it as he may wish to do so. You know, no fixed orders to how you're going to read it, how you're going to split it up. Could be, it says the Meir, in whatever way you want. Elo Le'shemishtar L'haschel Yofel L'sam Yofel. Make sure you try your best to begin at a nice place and end at a nice place. Pameshes Parshias Hazinu. There was a particular order. We'll see in due course in the Rambam as to why that should be the case. But according to the Meiri, you know, is a relatively free for all. You would have, as it were, flexibility as to how you would want to do so. However, an alternative view is mentioned by the Tikkun Yisachar. This is a Rav in Tzfas in the 16th century, and he says, and he is compiling a tikkun. That is to say, it's a text where he's setting down what the stops should be in Kriyat HaTorah. Because if you look at the very early Chumashim that are printed, many of them were printed without breaks for Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, etc. And so, what did they do? And so, someone would publish a tikkun where you'd give you the stops as to what you were taking place. He says, Motosikus Vekundras Yoshon, Hasokas Akrias, Shevashav Shachris, Hashabosses. And he says, I found in some old texts sort of samples of these stops. And he says, and he that's why he's producing them in his Sefer. Also, Gamla Oilim Mimincha Vesheni Vichamishi, what they are on a Monday or Thursday morning. And he says that I have heard, and he quotes, Vishumati Michochem Shem Hasokas Ezra Sefer Alavaloshon, that these stops go back to the time of Ezra HaSofer. And so he regards the stops that he is producing for the Tzibur as having great antiquity, and these go back all the way to Ezra HaSofer. Now, whilst this is the respective view of the Tikkun Yisachar, nevertheless, it is difficult to sustain for a number of reasons. And let's see the range of challenges that emerges. So we now move to the Rambam, which is the well-known Rambam that tells us, the basic practice, which was, we know, was in Bovel, you'd finish Torah reading once a year. Notice the Rambam doesn't call the Sedras by the names that we call them. These names emerge at a later stage. But etc. And you go through the Kriyas HaTorah until you complete in the Sukkos. So the Rambam mentions another minik, which is not the basic minik to do it in 3 years. Incidentally, I'm sure many of you know the account of Binyamin Ibn Tudela, the traveler who a century later is visiting Egypt and finds these two kahilas opposite each other. One is doing it in 3 years, one is doing it in 1 year, one is following still many years of straw. And he mentions they came together for Simchas Torah and Shavuot. So otherwise, they were doing their Kriyas HaTorah separately. But, as we can see, there would be a practice of reading the Torah in 3 years, which was the old practice in Eretz Yisrael. And a number of writers point out, and here's the observation of Shem Tov Gagin, and it's a case of Shem Tov, is in the Ato Oshuv Shuvosh Ledurei Hashonim in Bemesh Avsokas Ha'inu Arishumishon Yisrael 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 Yisrael. You know, think about it. How can you really suggest that the Havsokas, which the Tikkun Yisachar finds in an old Tikkun, should go back to the time of Ezra? It doesn't really make sense because if you're saying that the stops we have, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, etc., go back to Ezra, then how do you get a 3 year cycle out of it? That means they're departing from what a 3 year cycle would have been. It doesn't make sense. And so, you know, how could they have departed from it? How could they have had, the right to split it up into a longer period into reading the Torah over 3 years? sorry, Chlomi, if you learn me as a yotzer to konazu, you have to say it didn't emerge from the time of this. Elami may anshe bobish or yirginally chris a fashu kula b'shabbos hukra says say the b'tzion ha'aliyos that you know originally you had a triennial cycle and once bovil becomes separated from Eretz Yisrael and you're establishing an annual cycle chris so they would split it up in the way that became practical in bovil. He says that to the earliest period you could place these stops to be of the time of the Gemara. But the Gemara, and the Gemara doesn't mention it because it's obvious it's something you're doing every week, and they need to spell it out to you. And so the practice therefore can't be sustained that these stops go back to the time of Ezra. Maybe they go back to the time of the Gemara. But what are the principles involved?
Why 3 years? What's the logical 3 year cycle?
Well,
makes sense, of course.
Oh, it's possible that actually it was actually a 3.5 year cycle, and it linked eventually to Hakel. So you know, twice in 3.5 years, then you've got to and you know, there are those today that will that mean there's the well-known research of Mann, the Torah reading in the old synagogue in the book published in the 1940s, where comparing it to the midrash, the old midrashim, that particularly midrashim Eretz Yisrael, you can see what the stops were, and we actually have rishimus of what the haftorahs were, and that's in a sense the source of some of the different minhagim we have today in different kehillos of laying the haftorahs, because when they coalesce from a 3 year system into a 1 year system. In fact, if you look at the article in Sakit Talmudis on Haftarah, it gives you a list of the Haftarahs they would have read on a triennial cycle. Anyway, so let's see what are the principles are of splitting up the laning that we now do today. And the Ikkar principle is Devar Tov, that you want to begin and end on something that's a Devar Tov. And also, there's a principle of Tochacha, as we will see that emerges from the Rambam. You want to, as it were, give a strong educational lesson as well. So the Rambam tells us, and it's based on Yerushalmi, you want to begin in a nice place and end in a nice place. Our Parshas Hazinu, and Parshas Hazinu we know is a Parsha of Tochacha. You know that you want to give the Klal Yisrael a message that will remember a lesson of history. So Rambam says, well, Parshas Hazinu, which is really not much you can find of Dvar Tov. We have specified stops. The Rambam gives us the specific stops that you're going to lay in Hazinu, even though it's not with Dvar Tov. The Rambam says here the principle is not Dvar Tov, but you'll hear the lesson and you want to do tshuva when you hear what the learning is saying to you. And that helps us understand, in fact, a Rambam just a couple of halachas later, where the Rambam tells us, Klal Shema Torahs Kenim Im Afsiki Bohem. When you're laying the klolos in b'chukosai, then you can't make a break, can't make a stop. Elo echol kiri oison matzav posuk tveim esai b'posuk shlacharem. Begin a posuk before, end a posuk afterwards, so you're not just laying the klolos for the oile. The klolos of a mishnah Torah, but the klolos that you have in kisavoi im roitze lifsoik b'hem posuk. If you wanted to make a break in the middle of them, in theory you could. But the Medigo Olam is not to do so. So the Chayra, there's a stira. How can the Rambam say you can make a break if he just said with Vatayev? But as we see, that the Rambam has also articulated the principle in the previous halacha, is as well as Dvar Tov, there's Tochacha. And by stopping in the middle of the klolos, in Devarim with Kisova, you could be articulating a message of Tochacha. In theory, that will be possible. Rambam says the Medigah is not to. In fact, there is Yerushalmi that says not to make a break in the Klolos, neither in Teres Konim nor in Devarim, and that's the Medigah Olam. But the notion of not wanting to end off on a negative note is certainly there as a principle which we want to sustain. However, once we see that as a principle, then, you know, often, once we think about it, there are a number of sedras that do appear to end off on a negative note. So, it may be of interest to you to see that the Maharim brings, that when you're ending off the sedra of Balak, that you carry on. Mikan lo kari b'toshu yotzor nifsev v'dobet ov esayim t'batoiv. Mikan smach leminig roi svarad v'tzorfas. The minig, the man who writes in his time in Spain and the majority of France before Provence. So v'soiv parshas bodeshev and v'mechinas ad risi sholem esayim t'batoiv. So you don't end off at the end of bodeshev, but lay in a few psukim more until risi sholem. And so out of a sensitivity for not wanting to sign a place that wasn't t'batoiv. However, we don't do that, and there are a number of other sedras that do appear to end off in a negative way. And so this is discussed by some achronim, as we see as follows. And so the Rav Po'omim, is asking the question, why is it b'seif b'mitzvah, lo yuvar lebetz b'chalas ha'kodesh b'chalas ha'kodesh b'meisu, how can you do so, im esayim b'dvar dov b'dovar ra? And so this question is posed to the Rav Po'omim, and the answer he gives is an interesting one. He says, why are you asking me about Midbar? What about Lechacha, Vayomas Terefachara? What about Vayikra, Tmeyava, etc.? And so he comes up with the following interesting answer. Nira Liyashiv Inyan, Kimata Achasim Apasha, after you finish the laning, what happens? Mavorecha Oila Birchasatura. That's nice. That's about so. And so he wants to suggest that it's never a problem, whatever you finish the laning, because you always finish up with Birkas HaTorah. He says, enough a minute would be, if you're doing Shnai Mikra, and you're just doing it by yourself without a bracha afterwards, then you don't just finish there, read something else. But he wants to suggest that would be, as it were, an answer to the fact that some of the sedras appear to end in this particular way. So now the brach we're doing is b'tzichonas aran sechasish gadoyla. V'yichiva adam shloich choshev siyum meisusim el berchas haTorah. The siyum that he's reading, that he's going to be concluding, is the siyum of berchas haTorah. And so that is his answer. However, Menashe Rav Rasha Klein, the posting in Mishnah Halachas, doesn't like that. He says, how can you say that? He says, Lefi Nezdaiti says, B'mechir Tzorikoy Terosai, Ma'ashe Kosu, Yassim Azir Brecha Satera, he can't say it's impossible. And he brings a number of challenges to suggest that could be the case, because very clearly, in other sources, it's referring to the Kriyas HaTorah itself, and so on. And so he comes up, he's onto our final page, the Rambam was at length to point out that the hafsokas we have in the sedra of Hazinu is because it's a teichocho. And if the issue was one of Birchas HaTorah, it wouldn't be a problem, because after each aliyah you would say Noisin HaTorah. So clearly it's the issue itself. And so he comes up with an alternative answer. He says the whole issue of not wanting to end off on a point which is not Dvar Tov, he says this is Hainu im Posach be'emtza pasha osayim be'emtza pasha. He said this is only about stops in the middle of the lane, rather than the end of the sedra. Once you get to, presuming what he's saying is that in Bavel, once they fix what the sedras are going to be, then, you know, those were the lessons they wanted the tzibur to come away with. And so, in the middle, what Sheni Shlishi Revi'i, etc., that you need to begin an Ebed Dvar Torah. But at the end of a sedra, it is that's the unit of Priyas HaTorah, which Anshei Bavel now have laid down for us to read, though, as we know, there are still some chilukim there. Originally, there were 53 sedras, rather than 54 sedras, some were split up mishpotim, some were we can simply give one sedra. Those are just pratim, but in principle, the message is in the end of the sedra. You leave it wherever it is, and the question of Dvar Tov will be a point that occurs in the middle of the sedra. Nevertheless, given the stops that we now have, we find nevertheless that were poskim that were uncomfortable with the stops you would find in our chumashim. Famously, the Gaon didn't like the stops in the Chumash. And in the Maaseh Rav, the Gemara is cited as saying, he said, "Ve'ein Masayim in Parshiyos Hanirshomim b'Chumish, ki im b'mokim shupchsucha istuma, o shem b'rav shenira yoyisav hafhefseka inyam." He says that's where you should stop. At the end of the parshiyos, the psucha stuma, rather than at the breaks, because as you can see, frequently we're not stopping at the end of a parsha psucha or parsha stuma. It could be a convenient paragraph break. Well, that's not where the Shlishi Revi'i is. A famous example is the Sedra Shmois has seven paragraphs. Look at the Sedra Shmois. You'll see seven parshiyos psucha stumas. And we don't stop there at all. The reason is because you're referring to, you know, the suffering of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. But the Gaon says, with the IEC refers, in the piece of quote, in the name of the Gaon, he wouldn't take cognizance of the stops that are there in the Chumash, and rather go to the stops that's what he felt to be more appropriate. And Rav in the 19th century, Rav Aaron Bar Avreli Vermeis, who was a dying in Netz in the 19th century, he speaks very scathingly of the stops that he finds in the Chumash that came to his attention. He says these been done by sort of not by scholars, not by Talmid Chacham, but by, you know, Hebrew teachers, by to people teaching in Cheder. He felt that these didn't have any serious substance to them. Now, whether one can go as far as that, in fact, you know, once you look carefully, you can see there's a chokhmah in many of the stops that we have. For example, we make a break in the middle of the Parsha Poro Duma. When it's Parsha's Poro, we read right to the end of that Parsha. But when it's the Sedra of Chokas, what do? We make Sheni before the end, and then we carry on. Why are we doing that? Because we're linking Mises Miriam. The death of Tzadikim is like a kapara for us. And so if there is a chokhmah in those who have split up the parashas for us. It's not quite the truth to say it's like Mikra Dardikim. There is a chokhmah to it. However, it doesn't go back, if you like, that it's Kodesh Kodoshim to the time of Ezra, or it's something that's set in stone. And some scholars have done a lot of research on this particular subject, and I just submit the conclusions of Katz and Allenberg in an article that appeared in Sinai some years ago. And here, the author researched many, many tens of texts of Tikkunim, of early Chumashim, of Kisvei Yad, of Chumashim before publishing it, etc. And the conclusions that are reached are as follows. Aleph, Rishimo Shela Chalukas HaParshiyos, Hoyu Benimtza Kvaba Tekuvas HaRishonim. Even though we find our early Chumashim that are printed, for example, in the 16th century without stops, that doesn't mean to say there weren't any stops. Obviously, there were, and people knew what was happening. Rather than you know, like I once had a scholar visiting me from America, and he says, "I can see until you know the 1960s, your shuls weren't saying a prayer for Eretz Yisrael because it's not there in the Singer's Prayer Book." I says, "You're completely wrong. There was this. It was a piece of paper that people put in their sitters. That was printed. The fact it wasn't printed in the Singer's Prayer Book doesn't mean to say that people weren't saying it. So that the fact that stops aren't there in the Chumash they're using, obviously they were making stops, and it's they were known to the Baalei Kriya. So they were there." Base, Mereshus Tekuvas Hadfus Loit Siyena Hapsokas B'Chumashim Ela B'Sifrim Min Hogim Shenim. You can imagine that when you were first printing Chumashim, to insert something that was not in the text of the Chumash would be something that a printer might not wish to do. And so you had, I'm not going to impose the stops that could be relatively variant in the text of a Chumash itself. And so you'd have your Sifrei Tikkunim that gave you the stops you should make. Later on, three, Ad Lifnei Sholosh Kol Shmeir Shono, Ho Yerushimus Shono Zumizu, there was a fair amount of variety in the stops that existed. But once you started the print, and in four, Lifnei Kol Sholosh Shmeir Shono, Hechil Hizgabesh Tzuras Haluka Achido, you begin to have a more unified practice. With the development of printing, you have a more unified practice of the stops, because now I can say the Chazal's doing it wrong, if the Chumash that I got is different from the one that he's learning from. And so once, as you say, you start to have printed texts that are more easily available, that leads to a more unified practice as far as the stops are concerned. And he says, and clearly, five, Harishimosh Hashonos lo nerchu alide Ezra, alide Chazal. You can't say, because of the variety that we've seen, and there is quite a variety once you start looking at these sources, you can't say it goes back to Ezra or Chazal. But lo gamli alide the Goenim or Rishonim, nor is it the Goenim or Rishonim. He lohoye kei, lohoye benimsa shumim rabin kokach, because there wouldn't be so much variety if it went went back into, you know, to the time of the Goyim. Clearly, as we've seen, there were certain instances like Leino Rosh Chodesh, Leino Chanukah, Leino Chol HaMoed, where everyone did it the same way. However, as far as the regular centuries are concerned, there was a lot more variety. It would be left to, sort of, as it were, the Baal Korah in that particular base of Medrash. They were done by various Baal Kriya and Chazonim in whatever the minyan was, and in the course of time, you know, this coalesced into a more unified practice. And so the end of the day is, the conclusion is, it's this in Kodesh Kodoshim, what you got with, this is Shlishi, this is Revi, etc. It's become the practice, but, you know, if the need was there, you could change it. So, for example, I believe my colleague, Rav Basus, when it comes to the Seder of Nosoi, calls up the Kohen for Rishon, and reads all the way through to the end of Birchas Kohen. You know, ignores the stops that you might have, etc. So why do you? Well, let's give the Kohen the aliyah of Birchas Kohanim, etc. It's, in theory, it's possible. And whilst I, as a Rav, would follow normally the stops in there in the Chumash, if there was an inyan where, you know, someone that was a Zachiv, you know, was a Baal Bris, come in late, etc., we need to work out a way of calling him up. So, you know, I'd be prepared to depart from the stops within order to juggle it to fit him in if I couldn't make a stop in the Hafsokas of the day. And so this is how, as I say, that the practice has developed. The Dvar Tov is an important principle to apply, but nevertheless it has evolved with the variety that I've shown to you. And as I say, it's a subject that's fascinated me over the years, and it's been my pleasure to share it with you. Thank you very much.